All right, take your Bibles and turn back with me to Galatians chapter 6. The title of this message, Giving Grace. Giving Grace. Or you can say the grace of giving. Either way you want to put that, Eric. Either way you want to put that title. Let's look at this, Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. He says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now, last Wednesday we went over this first portion of this text, and I want to... Many of you have not been with us through the book of Galatians, but the book of Galatians is a very wonderful book. There were some in this church who were being taught that circumcision was necessary for salvation. They were preaching that salvation is by grace, that Jesus Christ died for their sins, but in order to be saved, they must now subject themselves under the law of Moses. And the whole book at the beginning to chapter 5 is refuting that theology, that doctrine. That salvation is completely and absolutely from beginning to end and all in the middle, it is the work of God alone. It is the work of God alone. But some men were duped into believing that they could, by their obedience, add to the work of Christ. That Christ did what He could, and the rest was left up to them to fulfill. This is modern religion in a nutshell, that Jesus did all He can do, and the rest is up to you. That's religion. That's the religion of the day. Jesus Christ, well, He died for everybody, and that, you know, in order to make that right, you've got to exercise your will, or you've got to do this, or you've got to do that, and then you can be saved. Well, that whole book of Galatians is against that. Whole book. And so there were two groups of people in this church. There were those who were duped, those who were deceived, and those who were steadfast, those who believed that salvation is totally by the grace of God. And they stood fast. They weren't deceived with that message of superimposing the law of Moses. And so he continues in chapter 5 to tell those who are faithful, listen, stand fast. You've stood fast. Now stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made you free. You that were duped, you should repent and what? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made you free. But he knew this, that there was going to be some pride. That those who were steadfast would by their flesh feel superior to those who had failed. And he begins to describe the struggle that every believer faces. Those that had fallen and those that were steadfast. Everybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ has two distinct natures living in them. They have the Adamic nature that they were born with, the fallen nature, and we have the new nature that is created by God in true holiness. And these two are at constant warfare with each other. You are a believer in Jesus Christ. This is our experience of every believer. There's a constant struggle within us. And so in beginning in chapter 6, he's seeing that this struggle is in all of us. That we have both the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit dwelling in the same person. He says, brethren, you that are spiritual, you that did not fall, listen, what do you do to those who fail? Restore them. You restore them like you would a dislocated arm. You would do it with meekness. You would do it with tenderness. And he says this, that we should consider yourself. Why? You're just as capable of any sin as they are. Lest you also be tempted. And then he says this, bear one another's burdens. When that person comes back, he's going to feel the guilt. He's going to feel the shame of his sin of abandoning the gospel of Christ. And now he wants to be restored. He says this, bear under his burden, recognizing this, that I know what it's like to feel guilt. I know what it's like to feel shame. And how do we bear one another's burdens? Simply by pointing them again to Christ, not to ourselves. I can't bear the burden of their sin. It's pointing them to Christ who bore their burden of sin, so that they would be alleviated of that guilt. And then we went over this, that if a man thinks himself to be something, what is he? He's nothing. What are you? Believer, what are you? Nothing. Nothing. The only one that's something is Christ. To us, Christ is all. He's all my righteousness. He's all my wisdom. He's all my sanctification. He's all my redemption. Christ is all. And what am I? Nothing. Nothing. We're sinners saved by grace. And remember, he said, let every man prove his own works. Don't be busybodies looking to see who's saved and who's not. It's not our business. Peter said, make your calling and election sure. And now then we get down this and verse 6. He says, let him that is taught. And this is what we went over Wednesday. Taught. Everyone that is a believer in Jesus Christ recognizes this, that we were taught of God. We were taught of God. That no man can know God except God Himself teach him. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Why are the churches not full, seeing that salvation is free? Seeing that salvation requires nothing of you. Seeing that salvation is already something that's accomplished, something that's finished. Why is it that? Because this is a foolishness to men. Men always believe they had to add something. And the minute you add anything to Christ, you've defiled the whole thing. Anything you've done. You say, well, I believe in Christ, but I have to. No, you've defiled the whole thing. Paul said in chapter 5, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you do this or do that, and that's part of your salvation, Christ profits you nothing. This is foolishness to the natural man. Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither, listen to this word, neither can he know them. Anybody misunderstand that? I don't care what you do, you can't know this. Naturally, you cannot understand this. He can't know him because he's spiritually discerned. He's spiritually condemned. He's already judged. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this. Now, get this and see if you can follow what he said. He said, no man can come unto me. Now, is that simple? Now, let me ask you this. Can any man of his own volition, of his own power, of his own will, can he come to Jesus Christ? Not if you believe what Christ said. Christ said, no man can come unto me. Wait a second. I came to him. Except. I'm glad he got that word in there. Except. There's an exception. Here it is. Except the Father which has sent me, draw him. As it is written, they shall all be taught of God. You that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught you that? God did. If you really know that, if that's not just some
academic knowledge you have in your head. Now, you can have an academic knowledge of this stuff. You can have it all in your head. You can be a systematic theology professor and know everything about this and still be lost.
I'm not talking about academically. I'm talking about experimentally. Do you know that you are depraved? You know, I knew about total depravity long before I knew I was depraved. When God showed me I was depraved, that's not an academic thing. That was a real thing. I was totally depraved. I had no righteousness in me whatsoever. Who taught me that? God did. But then He taught me something else. He taught me that Christ is all the righteousness I could ever need. He taught me that the blood of Christ is the only offering that is acceptable as a sacrifice for sin. That nothing I could offer would ever pay for sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, he sat down. What does that signify? It means it's done. He sat down. It's over. It's finished. In that matter of fact, those were his words, wasn't it? It is finished. Atonement made. Redemption paid. Christ. He did it all. Who taught me that? Now, I knew that here long before I ever knew it here. I knew God had elect people. I knew Christ redeemed them. I knew the Spirit had called them. I was a Calvinist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I knew all theology. I didn't know Him until He taught me. Then it all made sense, what I knew in my head. It all made sense. Why? Because I knew Him. I knew Him. We were taught of God. For by grace you are saved. Through what? Faith. Well, preacher, there it is. Well, see, you got to believe. Yeah, bet your bottom dollar you knew. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For by grace you are saved through faith. That's right. Where did the faith come from? For by grace you are saved through faith and that. What is the antecedent of that? That faith is not of you. That faith is a gift of God. And not of what? Not of works. Not anything you did. Why? Lest any of you should brag on yourselves. It's grace. This we were taught of God. Now what was the means? We went over this. What is the means by which God teaches this thing, that you're a sinner and need a Savior. What is the means God teaches you that Christ is all the righteous, redemption, sanctification, wisdom? What's the means? Preaching. Preaching. I told you this Wednesday, the necessity of preaching cannot be overstated in this generation. Why? Because this generation preaching is outdated and useless. Well, don't worry. Listen to me. It was outdated and useless when Paul was preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said this. You can look at it with me. I don't want to misquote it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 17. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, that does away with the Church of Christ, doesn't it? That's why with any of this baptismal regeneration business. Wait, you weren't sent to baptize and nobody was saved under Paul, right? Well, that was silly. I didn't want to. Why did I mention that aside? Just put that aside. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel. How? Not with wisdom of words. I'm not here to tickle your intellect. Make you feel intellectually superior to anybody else. I'm not trying. That nullifies the message of the cross. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. See, it was happening in Paul's day. They thought it was foolish in his day too. church is nothing more, preaching to this generation is nothing more than storytelling and self-help. That's all it is. The church is nothing more than a storytelling time or a self-help seminar. How to make you better. No, we preach the gospel because this is the power of God unto salvation that to everyone that believes, to us that believe. Why is preaching important to you? Because we know something about it. It is the power of God. It is the means by which God communicates life and faith to the sinner. This is the means. So then, have you been taught of God? Who's taught of God? Everyone that believes on Jesus Christ alone. They have been taught of God. Now, let's move on here. It said, you that are taught of God. This is speaking to you who have been believed. Now listen to this. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, Paul here sets forth the heart and the attitude of all that walk by faith, all who are taught of God. What did he say they do? He says, let us that are taught communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Those who are taught of God through the preaching of the gospel will, out of a heart of love for the gospel, support those that teach and preach it. Let us be reminded this, and I want, on the outset, this is talking about supporting the gospel ministry. Supporting the gospel ministry. Not just the man, but the reason is not the man. Don't support the man just because you like the man or you care for the man. You do. I know you love me. I know you care for me, and I love and care for you. But it's far more important than that. Because I might do something to make you upset. You say, well, I ain't doing that no more because I don't like you. It's not for me. It's not because of me. It is because of the gospel that I proclaim to you. It is the gospel. We love and support the ministry. And I want to remind you of this, that when I say giving, I am not talking about tithing. This is vitally important. Why? Because Paul spent his whole time talking about that the law of Moses has nothing to do with us. He spent 5 chapters talking about it. He's not going to abandon that horse and jump on another horse and say, well, you need a tithe. Well, circumcision is not the way, but tithing is. No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about giving, which is a vitally different thing than tithing. Tithing was according to the law of Moses. This communication is an act of gift of love toward God and those that God has sent. It is an outward display of the inward fruit. But it is not tithing. Now, believer, we are truly not under the law of Moses in any measure. I want you to understand that we are not under the law of Moses in any measure whatsoever. We are under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's made us free from the law of sin and death. And so we believe are under the law of the Spirit, under the rule of the new man. And it's not by fear and terror that we give. The law invoked fear. Do this and live. Don't do this and you shall die. That's the law. We're not under that law. We're under the law of Christ. And we were taught this by the gospel. So just as you are free from the sacrifices of animals, listen, you're free from tithing. We don't tithe.
I want you to know this. In the New Testament, tithing is only mentioned four times. Only mentioned four times. The first two times are the same instance. In Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 4, he rebukes the Pharisees concerning their thoughts about their obedience to the law. You see, the Pharisees, they were so meticulous about the law that they would count their leaves to give one-tenth of what they had in profit to the Lord. And yet he said, you do that and then you do away with the weightier matters of the law. You tithe mint and cumin and all your little plants, and you forget about honoring God and serving God with, you know, so they that's the first mention of tithing. He's rebuking them because they were tithing, but they weren't doing it according to the Word of God, the law. And the second instance is in Hebrews chapter 7, and both times there is talking about the tithing of Abraham, which is a picture. So in no place in the New Testament does it ever command the believer to tithe. So when I'm talking about giving, please stop saying that word. I'm giving my tithes. No, don't. Nowhere in the New Testament are believers commanded to tithe. Believers in Christ are free from sin, free from the guilt of sin, free from the condemnation of sin, because we are free by the grace of God. He freely chose us. He freely redeemed us. He freely called us and quickened us to life. Isn't this how the gospel came to you freely? Came to you freely, didn't it? Without merit. It was freely given to us. There's no greater gift that God has given us but His grace to believe on His Son. And you that are believers, how are you kept? Are you kept, not kept freely by His grace? You are. We're kept freely by His grace. So then, this is how every believer in Christ ought to give to the ministry. Listen to this word, freely. Freely. Paul exhorts us who are taught in the Word that we should support the gospel, support those that teach it. How? By freely communicating unto them. Without obligation. But even as you receive those blessings of the gospel by the labors of the pastor, which to you are infinite value to your soul, how then should you not? We should not receive of your earthly things. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I marvel at this. You know, the Corinthian church was one of the richest churches out there, and the apostle said, you know, Paul said, I don't need your money. They wouldn't give. They wouldn't give to support him. So he went out and started making some tents and stuff, you know, on his own. Said, look, I'm not going to be obligated to you. Look, he said in chapter 9 and verse 7. He said, who goeth to a warfare at any time on his own charges? Anybody, the soldiers go to war on their own? They go to their bank and withdraw some money to buy a weapon and buy their ammunition? And no. He said, who planteth the vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof, or feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or saith He it altogether for our sakes? Listen, for our sakes, no doubt, this was written. That he that ploweth should plow in hope. He that thresheth in hope should be partakers of hope. If we have sown to you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we should reap your carnal things? If others partakers of the power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power.
but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel. Do you not know they which minister about holy things live after the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live, what? Of the gospel. We live of the gospel. Why? As God, as He says in 2 Corinthians 9, He said this. Listen, God loveth the cheerful giver. I love the cheerful giver. All of His saints are givers. And they gladly give the fleeting things of the carnal life because they are meaningless in comparison to what they receive. The gospel is vital. We give because God has given to us. The gospel is the treasure, isn't it? It's the treasure. In the heart of the believer, this is the treasure. Christ and Him crucified is the treasure. It's the only thing of value and substance. How long are you going to keep the things you got? One man, he was going over to a, hope we'll get this right, he's going over to a mission field, and these people were cannibals. And they called him a fool. He said, "You're a fool to leave." And he said, "A man is not a fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose." If we've given up all, what have we really given up? Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because Christ is all. Christ is all. Do you realize when all of this is wrapped up, do you realize that only Christ is going to be standing in the center of everything? And everyone will praise Him for eternity. Eternity. This is the glory of heaven, the treasure of the gospel. It is the hope. We love this gospel because it blesses us. We know this gospel is vital because this is the means God chose to call His people. I know this, that this is not all there is. I know this, that God has a people that He has not yet called. And I know this, He will call them. He says to the north, "Give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." God will call His people and He will use this same means. And it is the heart and love of everyone who believes to continue this message that it go out from this place and God call His people wherever they are. That's our intent here, isn't it? You've got jobs, you've got businesses, you've got families. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that this gospel be preached. That this word be heard. Let God be true and every man a liar. This is what God's people do to support. They support this ministry because it is the Word of God we support. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just the man. And so you that are commanded here, He said, let us who are taught communicate to Him that teacheth in all good things so that you are in support of this ministry. I want you to know this. Don't give to the man, give to the Lord. When we give unto Him. And we give only portions. Isn't that so? We only can give portions of what He gives us. But we are to give to Him. Why? Because He who was rich for your sakes became poor. That we through His poverty might be made what? Rich. Rich in what? Earthly things?
Did he die so you can be healthy, wealthy, and happy in this world?
No. He died that you might be rich in righteousness. Why? Because that's the only thing that matters. You might be rich in redemption. Scripture says the Lord, there's plenteous redemption. You need redemption? See, those that are Christ have plenty of redemption. Never lack of supply. So we give unto the Lord, and we give willingly. God does not, listen, I want you to know that God don't need your money. You want it? Keep it. Please. I'm begging you. Keep it. If you will not give willingly, please don't give at all. God doesn't need your money. He just doesn't. Why? It belongs to Him anyway. He said in Psalm 50, He said, I will not take a bullock out of your fold or a sheep out of your yard. Why? It belongs to me. I don't need to take it from you. It's mine. All you have belongs to Him anyway. Everything you have. Name something you belongs to you. Name it. Something. Let me read this. This verse is really, really wonderful. Listen to this. I can find it now. I know it done got off track, so just a second. Here it is, Jeremiah chapter 27 and verse 5. He says, I have made the earth. You got that? Whatever's in the earth, I made it. It's mine. They got to this cloning thing one time, and somebody made a little joke, said, we don't need God. We can make clones now. We can make something. And they said, okay. God said, go ahead, do it. And he said, well, we're just going to take a little dirt. And God said, no, get your own dirt. It's all His. I have made the earth. And listen, man and beast upon the ground, I made them too. I did this by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed meet unto me. So when you give willingly, because listen, God owns what you have anyway. And if God has given you the blessing of mercy, do you not want to also be merciful? If you really know His mercy on you, you won't have much problem being merciful to others. And so when you give, make sure you give willingly. When you do give, do it so to express thankfulness. That's all we're doing. When we give, we express thankfulness. Scripture says, to whom is forgiven much, loveth much. Isn't that right? Friends, giving never is about amounts. It's always about the cost. It's never about the amounts. It's always about the cost. You remember that widow? Our Lord said, this woman's going to be mentioned. I'm mentioning her because the Lord said this. I'm going to make mention of her. Every time this word's read, I'll make mention of her. That widow that came to give her offering, she had two mites. I don't even think that's a penny. It's not even a penny. But listen to what it has. It was all she had. These people had donated lots of their portions. They donated part. She donated all. She gave all. And so it's not about the amounts, it's about the cost. David said this, I will not give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. So we give, we freely give. And listen, I would tell you this, give only to those who preach the gospel of God's grace. Do not give to false religion. Do not give. Today there are many who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They do not come to feed the flock, but rather to tear them and destroy them. Jesus said they came to kill and to destroy. They are the ones who cast the burden of tithing on the people, those who cast the law upon you. Anybody who says this, well, you got to believe in Christ, but the law is your rule of life. Don't give them. Don't give to them. Why? They're liars. They're liars. Those who use gimmicks and tricks and things of the flesh, they promise those who give to God that God will somehow give them riches. Don't give those fools. They twist the Scripture to their own destruction. Those who are greedy for gain, who are not called of God, must never measure a man's ministry by his good deeds or by how many attend the service. Don't do that. That doesn't determine anything. Numbers, size of the building, and all that outward thing does not determine one thing. And if you've got a small congregation, that doesn't mean he's preaching the truth. You don't give to ministries based on any outward thing. What is their message? If it's works, don't give. If it's salvation by works, if Christ is all your righteousness, Christ is all your wisdom, Christ is all your redemption, but you are your sanctification, don't give to them. You're not telling the truth. You look it over later. I think it's in Jeremiah. I don't have it written down. It's in Jeremiah. God said this. He said about the false prophets, He said, they used my word, but I didn't send them. Now listen to what God says about false religion. He says, they will not profit this people at all. No matter how wealthy and how large a false church is, it has no profit concerning the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. And so if God moves to give, you give to those who are preaching the gospel of God's grace. And fourthly, give the best that you have. Don't give leftovers. Don't give leftovers. So what Paul says here in our text, he says, let him that is taught. Are you taught of God? You that are taught of God should love to give to the thing that God used to teach you. Give it freely. And before I move on to this, I want you to know this. This doesn't just include money. It does mean money, but the church needs to pay lights. It needs a building. It needs a place to worship. Those things are necessary. Support of the man that's doing this. But it's much more than that. It's not just money. It's the giving of our own selves. Do you know what I long for more than money? Just you being here. You want to communicate something good to me? Just be here. It's more to me than anything in the world. It encourages me more than if you gave me all your money. It's that someone would be faithful to hear the gospel, to worship. And so Paul said, let us hold fast our profession without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. This is why we hold fast our profession, because He's faithful. He promised to save us. He's faithful to save us. We hold fast. Let us consider one another and provoke one another to love. Listen, how do you consider one another? How do you provoke one another to love? Listen, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You want to provoke one another to love? Well, you got to be here to do that. Got to do that. Got to. And there's nothing like when brethren come together with one mind, with one heart, with one aim to worship God, through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more joyous for the believer. And so he says, let us who are taught. And so I ask you who are taught, do you love the gospel? Do you love Him? Do you long for others to come and hear the same things you hear? To believe the same things God has taught you? And we do this simply by communicating unto those that preach it. In all good things, not just one thing, but in all good things. And so when you do this, when you love the gospel, you desire it to continue. And so we do this by communicating, Paul said, to them that preach in all good things. And I'm going to give you just this last thing, and I'm not going to spend much time on it. Listen to this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Listen, God knows who His people are and who they aren't. There's always pretenders in the church. There's always... Christ said the wheat and the tares will grow up together. Now what are we to do? Are we to pick out the wheat and tares? Not our business. Don't touch them. Leave them alone. You don't know the difference between a wheat and a tare. You know, if it smacks you in the face, you wouldn't know the difference. You just wouldn't. We don't know. There are men that I have assumed were great men of the faith, and they left, never to come back. And there were men that I thought, surely those guys are going to be gone in a week, and they've been around for decades. See, it's not my business. The wheat and the tares, listen, God's not mocked. You can have all the outward things you want. You can pretend to be a believer. You can dress up a corpse, can't you? That's what I see in most places. It appears that men are just dressed up corpses. They're just kind of like puppets. They're just floating around. They have all the outward signs of it. Our Lord told those Pharisees, He said, you are like a painted tomb. Beautiful on the outside. Problem is, you're dead on the inside. Listen, God's not mocked. God knows who His people are. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we'll get into this next time. But what He's talking about is this. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. What is He saying? He's talking about people who are still dependent upon what they're doing. A lot of people believe that because they give, that makes them a child of God. Well, I've communicated unto Him in all good things, so obviously I must be a child of God. Could be, could not be, I don't know. God's not deceived. Listen, if you are trusting in Christ, listen to me very carefully, if you're trusting in Christ, you're living after the flesh. That doesn't mean just lust and sin and all. Yes, those people who live after that, they'll die in that. But a lot of religious people don't live in those things and they'll die in their sins. You know why? They're living after the flesh. They're trusting in the flesh. Now, when you sow something, very simple, I'm not a horticulturist. Is that what it's called, Julian? I'm consulting the expert, right? I don't know much about this. But if I plant a wheat, I'm not going to expect an orange tree. Is that right? Whatever you plant is what you should expect. If you plant your works in any measure toward your salvation, listen to what you're going to reap. Corruption. He He that soweth to the flesh shall, without a doubt, reap corruption. Listen what the law said. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now what should you expect from the law? From your obedience to the law, what should you expect? Should you expect a blessing when it said cursed? No, it said cursed. You should expect to be cursed. But whosoever soweth...
Let me read it. Let me rewrite. Said this.
But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. To sow of the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. What is that? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Where does those things come from? They come from the Spirit. And what we are to expect if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's the work of the Spirit, to believe on Christ. That's His work. You believe on Christ, that's the work of the Spirit. Now, what are you to expect? You're to expect life everlasting. Paul said this in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who you are in union with Christ Jesus. Listen, there is therefore now no condemnation. And listen, there is therefore now no condemnation. And there is therefore now no condemnation. What do you expect? If there's no condemnation, what do you expect? I expect to reap what the Spirit has sowed in me. Which is what? Life everlasting. Should expect that. I'll get into that later. There's more. I like that about this. There's always more here.
I got up this morning. I had to put the pen down because it just keeps flowing. It just keeps coming out. There's just more. And so, what have we learned here? Let him that is taught. Have you been taught of God? What's the manifestation of that? It's love for this thing called the gospel. It's love and desire for it to flourish. So therefore, we communicate. We give to this ministry for the furtherance of this ministry. We know God's not mocked. He knows who His people are and who they aren't. And He's going to save them. And they won't sow to the flesh because they don't have anything, nothing but corruption here. Nothing but corruption here. Not going to sow to it. What do? We sow to the Spirit. And what are we going to expect? We expect what He promised. Life everlasting. I do pray God will bless this to you. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Gracious Father, be merciful to us and gracious. Oh, Father, I beg You, pour out Your Spirit. Give life. Give faith. Not that we should be exalted, but that Christ should be magnified. We plead for the forgiveness of our sins. Bear in us that fruit that You promised. Not that we should glory in what we do, but only in Christ. I pray You continue to work here in this place, that You'd further Your gospel according to Your grace. That none here should receive glory except Christ. I beg You, forgive us our sins. Draw us together in unity. Give us one heart, Your heart. One mind, Your mind. One will, Your will.
Help us to be careful to give you praise for it. I beg you in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.